Cheryl's not here today, so I'm kind of running the boat today. So if we hit a rock or anything, don't be surprised.
Oh, I'm sure you'll do fine. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hank, are you telling us we should be wearing a life jacket today?
Probably wouldn't be a bad idea. Might be a 3-hour tour, you know? No, I'm just kidding. Anybody else have any questions, issues, or new apps that they're playing with that they enjoy?
I'm telling you, if any of you have not tried that new WeatherFast app, give it a try. It's now available for your computer. That thing is really slick.
WeatherFast, that one word? I think you mentioned that last time, but I'd forgotten. I have not tried it.
Yeah, I did mention it last time. Yeah, it's one word, but it is. We used to have a thing on the website here that was called Quick Weather, where you could follow a list of where all your various friends lived that are their cities and see what their weather was. This thing will allow you to do that. You can make up a list of cities, and then you can go through the list and get a summary of what the weather is for every one of those cities. And if you want to know more, you can open it up depending on whether you're on the phone or on the computer. You can open up that city and get a very, very detailed observation, a look at what their weather is like, and you can kind of select what it shows. The guy that developed it is blind, and he really did a good job on it.
I'll definitely have to check that out because it sounds, like you said, slick, where you can get a lot of detail if you want it, but at first it's not. Because I normally just use the Apple Weather, but I only ask Siri, like, what's the weather today? What's the current humidity? When I open up the app, I notice it's very busy. If anybody knows, and I think there is a way to turn certain things off, like I start moving my finger around the screen and I start swiping, it's giving me the weather minute by minute. I'm like, I don't want minute. And then so I'm trying to get to hour by hour because I want to know what's going to be happening at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And it just takes forever to try to find it and get there. So I just want to wish there was a way to take off a whole bunch of attributes that are on the screen and simplify it. If I want by hour, minute by minute, should be a button. Just tap on minutes and then you can see it.
Have you tried? I have not. But have you tried your rotor and moving by various elements like headings and things like that to see if maybe that would make it easier?
That is a great idea, and I'm surprised I haven't tried it because that's normally the first thing I do on a new app or website or something to see, how I can jump from this to that a lot quicker. I use that on Netflix for the categories, horror, action, whatever. And then when I got to what I wanted, then I start right flicking. I don't have Netflix. I haven't in a few years now. That's a great idea to try.
Well, I had fun last week with the Instacart app. I could fill out what I wanted and get it in my cart, and then it has you review your items. And you can do it before you check out, and then when you hit the checkout, it summarizes them again. And when it summarizes them again, I think it shows a picture of the package. And if you're wanting to make any changes, It's very, because the screen just jumps around. It just does not, I always say that things got an astigmatism or something. And then when you are working with the shopper and receiving messages from the shopper as to changes and so on and so forth, that was another area where it used to be that you could open a message from the shopper and just keep swiping right. And with each message she gave you, with each question, you read it, you swiped right to the field to say, yes, I approve that change, or no, I don't. And then you can hit go to the right again, and you hit send. And that whole thing was jumping around on me in the process as well. Now, I just did the update today, and I'm hoping that it fixes stuff like that.
question for you, because I've heard people, and I'm talking various phones, various operating systems, but the last few years complain a lot about the focus jumping. It could be on the home screen. It could be in different apps. Is that the only app it happens to you on? You think it's Instacart the issue, or is it a iPhone focus issue?
You didn't by any chance accidentally turn screen recognition on, did you?
I don't think so, because I keep that off. Well, it has happened in other apps as well, Hank, where I can be reading emails and all of a sudden it goes out of the email and over to another app or something like that. So I really don't know, who to blame it on.
Speaking of apps, I worked with the Walmart app again yesterday. I have a friend that I do a Walmart pickup. Another friend and I do a Walmart pickup for. And so I make her list and then I put everything in the cart and check out. And for a long time, the Walmart app was really a pain. And I did it again yesterday and it seemed to be more accessible. The search was easier. It stayed up at the top. The only thing that happened a couple of times was it jumped off of focus of where I was, and I had to rein it back in. But I worked with it all together for like an hour and a half, and had pretty good success with it. So I was kind of glad about that.
Yeah, that Walmart app updated within just the past few days.
Yeah, I wondered about that, Mar, because Instacart delivers for Walmart, and that's what I was doing. I was buying my stuff from Walmart through Instacart, and I thought, I wonder if I would just be better off in going back. Our Kroger store has an app as well, to just going to their apps directly and doing it like that. I don't know if Instacart's going to be crazy on me. But then, like I say, it could be an iPhone thing, because it has happened in other situations.
Yeah, it could be a combination. I know if there's any Facebook users, I've heard a lot of people complaining that if they go into a comment or a post, and when they come back out, or if they go into, what do they call it, a feed, and they come back out, it jumps to the beginning. My suggestion, and it seems to work for me most of the time, is like when I back out of the post, I put my finger right away in the middle of the screen and it'll be where the post was. And if I just hold it there for a second or two and then start swiping to the right, then I stay there. If you don't do that, a lot of people have, and it happened to me, it used to happen to me. You come out the post, it would jump back to the beginning of the Facebook thread, or the feed, and then you'd have to swipe to get back to the post that you went in and to keep reading after that.
That's interesting, because that was exactly one of the things that they were talking about this morning on the ACB general session, that the ACB accessibility folks really needed to know that Facebook has gotten a lot worse. I don't use it, so I don't know, but I know that they were quite adamant about how messed up that has gotten.
Yeah, and unfortunately, big companies like Facebook, they don't really focus on the blind. I mean, there's a lot of good companies out there, but some of them don't care. And it's mostly like pictures and videos, and it's meant more for sighted people. And unfortunately for us, they just become, overly convoluted on their materials that are on the app or on the website, and it just makes it harder for us, and things jump around and harder to find. But like I said, that's what I do. If I go into a post and like it or read the comments, and then I hit the back button, I put my finger right in the center of the screen, I'm at the same post I just went into, wait for like a second, and then lift my finger, start swiping to the right to move on to the next post on the page.
Well, we shop Walmart with the, we use their app, and One thing I've noticed is when you go to search for something, it'll say search with a picture, and that kind of throws you off for a little bit. But like you say, they gear so much and they constantly change this thing. And you never know from one week to the next what kind of pain you're going to hit with it. So, or every 2 weeks or whatever. But I find that all this constant change, and it's not always for the better for us. But once a rehab worker told me, the world's not made for the blind, and he worked for them.
Well, this is true. The world's not made for the blind, but luckily we have certain companies like Apple that do. They're not 100%, but they do try to, like every phone, every iPad, computer, Apple TV, it's got accessibility built into it, which I think is great.
I would bet that there are system managers who sit and want to go to their boss every month and say, hey, we've got something new. And everything becomes a new idea. And I think that's why there's all those changes. It's employees trying to make points.
And keep their job. If they're not coming up with anything new, what do they need them for? So, yeah, it's like here in town, the government, they're constantly changing streets. They want to change the intersections. They're repainting the lines on the road. And they're making a mess of the town lately. I mean, it is bad. For those who have Instacart, luckily I have a lot of people around me that I go shopping with and stuff, so I haven't really needed it. I downloaded it years ago. I tried to set it up. I forget what the issue was. Has anybody had issues when you signed up? Did you need help? Were you able to create an account, put in your credit card info and all that and your address all pretty easily, or was it a pain?
I don't remember if I set it up or if my daughter or son set it up. That part I don't remember.
I did it. It's been a few years now, and yes, I did it myself. But I can't remember. I might have done it on my computer instead of on my phone.
Well, I do use my computer with it, so that wasn't addressed to me.
Oh, okay. Well, I use them both. I've been using my phone more for certain things, Facebook definitely being one, because Facebook on the computer is horrible. They got rid of the mobile version. So maybe I'll try setting it up on the computer and then just going on the phone and logging in and see if that works. Like I said, I tried a long time only on the phone, and it was, I don't know. I ran into problems, like it was looping me around, or I couldn't find an area to put in the address. I don't know what it was, but I'll have to try again.
Now, Cheryl, she says she does a lot with Ira. She just has Ira go on and do things. She gives them her list and she goes on. She has them go on and do things. So, but I tried Ira with Uber Eats one time because I use that fairly frequently. And I find that with that particular thing, at least for me anywhere, it works better for me to do it myself, because there's certain choices that they, like, for instance, we got the wrong kind of coffee drink. And, but the way they explained it, I thought it was the one we wanted, and it was not.
So you're saying, like for Uber Eats, you feel fine just doing it by yourself instead of using Ira. You tend to get better results, or yeah, because they're looking at a picture and maybe describing not really what you wanted.
Yeah, and you can actually go through the choices. Like if you order a burger, for instance, and you don't want mayonnaise on it, you can actually go and you know, take that off, for instance. And to me, things like that are a little easier when you can look at it at your own pace and you're not running against the clock like you are with Ira and minutes and all that.
Yeah, I've done it with Uber Eats a couple of times, and I haven't done anything where I had to make a lot of choices. I ordered from a restaurant here that had like a dinner menu, and you had different dinners, and it had it already, what came with that dinner. And so it was real easy to do, but I could see, I've played around with it just to see what would happen if you had to do that. And it does it, like you say, you can take your time and think about what you want and what you don't want. I would say I would probably want to do it that way too.
I really need to get caught up with the times. Cause like I said, Instacart, Uber Eats, I've never done, do Uber and Lyft, or actually more Lyft. And I have other apps. I'm pretty good with technology, but as far as the other stuff, luckily I have plenty of local restaurants that deliver. So I just call them and tell them what I want and they bring it. And I usually pay either over the phone and then maybe tip in person. I just never got into it. I've always been a little leery. I guess everybody does it about, you know, how my food's going to come. It's the guy eating my fries on the way to my house. You know, I don't know, but I really need to get with the times and get Instacart going and Uber Eats going and just come up into the, you know, the 21st century.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Because I order over the phone too and they deliver. But okay, on Uber Eats, do you sign on to Uber Eats and then you choose your restaurant and your food, or do you choose the restaurant and pick out what you want and then somewhere click that's how you want it delivered from Uber Eats? I don't know where the cart goes, where the horse and cart are there. Which do you do first?
Yeah, you go into the app and it's got all the different restaurants listed, restaurants and stores, and you choose which one you want to order from. So you actually open the Uber Eats app first.
Same idea as if you're using Instacart to order your groceries. You open Instacart and then you choose your store. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, I haven't used it, but I've been around people that use it. So think of it. Correct me if I'm wrong. I see it in my head like a tree view. You open the app, then you pick the store. Once you're in the store, or the restaurant, I should say, I'm assuming you can go through, like, you know, maybe click on appetizers, then go through the appetizers, check the one you want. And once you open it, and depending on what it is, you could say, like, wings, if you want ranch or buffalo, you know, check boxes. Then you back out of that, back out, and maybe go to entrees, and then pick, say, like you said, a burger. Then you click on the burger, it opens up, you check that you want it, and then you would go, you know, lettuce, check or not check, tomato, checked or not checked, and add to cart or whatever, and then back out and go find something else until you go to checkout. Is that kind of how it would be?
Yep, and you just keep adding things to your cart as you find it, you know, get it the way you want it. One nice thing about Uber Eats, and, you know, of course, all of these apps do this, but they have a reorder tab. So, like, if you order basically the same thing from a restaurant, which there's a couple of them that we do, you can go into that reorder tab and find the order that you placed. And it seems like it says like order again or something like that. And then it opens the order. And then I think if you want to change it at that point, you can. But it basically gives you all of the items that you had ordered previously.
Oh, I didn't realize that, Mar. That's nice. That's kind of the way Instacart can be as well. It's got a whole buy it again area that if there are things that you buy on a regular basis, you can just go through those and say, oh, do I need that right now? Yeah. Do I need that right now? Yeah. So that's very helpful.
Yeah. Because there are certain things you buy every time you shop or whatever. If you're doing it weekly, then, you know, okay, your milk every week. I got my carton of milk or loaf of bread or something. So it just makes it easier instead of doing a search for it. It's like, yep, that one, that one, that one. Now with the Uber Eats, with the buy it again, a reorder, does it save? Like if you say, you know, no lettuce, no tomato, but you do want, I don't like pickles, so I wouldn't say that, but you know what I mean? Extra cheese or whatever, it kind of saves it that way. So you could just reorder it again without going through all the checkboxes.
Yeah. Well, like for instance, there's a pizza place that we order from Rocky Rococo's. And so we order a large cheese and sausage pizza and six of their chocolate chip cookies. That's pretty much our traditional order. And so you go in there and it has, it's called Make Your Own Pizza or something like that. And it has that pizza already set up the way we have it. And then it has the number of cookies. And I can't remember if you still have to add each individual items to the cart or if it says add all to cart. I can't remember. But it's pretty intuitive, you know, once you get in there and it, you just kind of follow the instructions.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be intuitive. Yeah, it would be even great. Like you said, place a whole order or go down and like say you want the pizza, but you don't want the cookies and then just check the pizza instead of whole order. And then you don't get the cookies because you don't want them. That would be real easy to do. So, I'm going to have to get Uber Eats and start trying it.
Hank, you'd get the cookies and leave off the pizza.
Well, what we do, you know, we review the cart, and then anything that you don't want, you can remove it there, too.
Yeah, that's true. Before you go to checkout, your cart is there, and everything that you ordered is there. And if you don't want a certain item, yeah, you can delete it from the cart.
And the fun part, too, is when you first go on there, and you don't have anything that you're reordering per se, it gives you all these different cuisines. You know, do you want American food? Do you want Italian? Do you want burgers? Do you, you know, like that? So that it narrows down the restaurants you can choose from. Now, the one thing that I've never been able to figure out, and somebody told me you can do it, but I don't know how. I mean, when you're looking at restaurants and trying to pick out what you want from one, it tells you how far away the restaurant is from you. But I've never been able to go the other way and say, just show me restaurants, say, within a 5-mile radius of here or something like that, because, you know, that gets you your food quicker. And I think the delivery might be cheaper. Is there a way to do it that way?
I've never discovered anything like that, no.
Okay, because I haven't found it either. I mean, you pick a cuisine or whatever, and like I say, it does tell you how many minutes it'll take for you to get the food and how far away it is. But I've never been able to figure out that you could go the other way and not even start the process until you say, just give me restaurants, you know, within a certain mile radius of here. Okay.
I would think, yeah, which I'm sure you looked. I would think that would be like in settings, because I think Soundscape used to have something like that, or trying to think points of interest. You could like your radius of how far you wanted to look at things. Was it? Or maybe I was thinking restaurants.com. Something a while ago, I remember you could set the radius.
Has anybody dealt with the banking apps? I won a door prize from ACB, and they're going to be sending me money, and it'll be a check that I will want to deposit in my account. And I have never dealt with, I deal with Chase, and I've dealt with it on my computer, but I have never done that whole thing that I've seen people do about, you know, taking a picture. You know, being able to take a picture of the check, I guess, and have it deposited in your account without having to, because there's no place around here that will cash checks. And I just wondered if anybody's done that, because that can happen pretty often. Not for me, but it could happen, you know, at some point.
A long time ago, twice I did it. Once I needed help because I couldn't get it to work, and once I did get it to work. I'm thinking one thing you could try, because I was just thinking about this, is first with Be My Eyes, take a picture. I think Be My Eyes tells you if the print is upside down, right? Or is it seeing AI? One of those does it, because when I'm like looking at the, trying to find the instructions on a box of, say, frozen pizza or something, and that I want to cook, it'll tell me that it's upside down. But lay it down on a flat surface, make sure light, you got good lighting, and just put the phone or the center of the check, and then pull up to your about maybe 10 inches away and snap the picture. That's what worked for me the time I got it to work, and then flip it over and do the same process.
I suppose maybe that's something you could get Ira to help you to do too, I would think.
I would think so. And I would say, for me, that would be the safest route.
Yep, that would work. Have your check and your app open. If you don't have minutes, you have 5 minutes. It wouldn't take much longer than that. And if they can see your screen or what your phone is seeing, they could see and tell you a little further away, a little closer, a little more to the right. Tell you to go ahead and take the picture and probably even help you deposit it.
The only thing is you have to write something else on it, and I can't do that.
And that's where Ira would probably definitely help, because on one end, it's usually turn it like vertically or, you know, the long ways. And it's about not all always the same, but I don't think it really matters. About an inch or two below the edge of the thing, just sign your name. I think that's all they really need. I don't think you have to write for deposit only, but just sign your name that so they can see that you endorsed the check. If you can sign your name, then that's possible. And Ira could probably help you see how far down you need to sign it.
With ours, you have to write for deposit at Chase only or something like that.
I know when I was finaling my house, you know, closing out, there was one point they even talked about doing it online where I guess it would have been kind of like a Facebook call or not a Facebook, FaceTime call or whatever. And but it ended up that we went down and, you know, were there in person to do the closing. It was just better. I told him, I said, that was too technical for me, and that was a tedious transaction. I wanted off my mind.
Yeah, I know when Wayne sold his house, I don't know if they had to go to a bank there. Anyway, they didn't have to go back to Alabama to close out.
Yeah, that's what they had entertained that we do, Susie, but it worked out that we went to the actual closing, so I felt better about it myself.
I've done a couple electronic signings. At first, it was really difficult. I couldn't figure it out, and now it's like the whole document. You can read it on your computer. I don't know. On the phone, I think the same way. You could just go to the bottom. There's a checkbox. You check the box, and then you there's a button that usually says something like sign here, and you double tap on that, and then the next screen says good. You know, that part's complete, and then there's another section. You go to the bottom. You check the box saying that, you know, tapping on the box, I'm agreeing that I'm signing this document, and then you double tap, and it's pretty easy. All you got to do is double tap on two spots, and you signed your name.
I know with signing things, it wasn't anything legal, I don't think. And greeting cards and whatever, I have used Be My Eyes, and I would have them, I would say, well, let me put my finger where I need to be. And they would, you know, say lower, lower, to the right, you know, and they would get me at the right place to sign.
Yep, that works too. Like you say, birthday cards and stuff, you can do Be My Eyes with anything legal or whatever, then you want to use Ira. But I've done that with investing monies and different bank stuff. It's called AccuSign. I think there's other ones, but the one I use with AccuSign. And that made it really easy. I didn't have to even try to sign my name. I don't even know what my signature looks like anymore.
Yeah, there's a few of those different signature things out there. There's DocuSign, there's AccuSign. Like,
oops, I took your key from you by accident. DocuSign, I think, is what I used.
Yeah, that's, I think, the most popular one.
I got an email the other day, and it said something about DocuSign, and I think it had an attachment, but I didn't know what it was, and I just deleted it.
Yeah, if you're not expecting it from somebody, like usually, like with my life insurance agent or something, he's like, oh, I'm sending you this, you need to sign it, and then send it back to me, and then we'll move on from there. So I knew it was coming. You know, if I get an email like that out of the blue, mm-mm.
I've had an interesting thing happen with somebody sending me a PDF file, and I was not able to open it on my computer through the Adobe thing, and it was a lot easier to open it and read it with my phone, which I never would have pictured that it would have been like that. But it was. And I thought, wow, this is kind of neat, because I've always used the computer when I've gotten PDF attachments.
Yeah, that PDF reader on the phone is pretty good.
Yeah, the phone is really good about opening up all types of different documents. Now, I have a question. I know this is iPhone class, but real quick, I open up my PDFs on my computer and I don't even have Adobe. I think it's built into Windows, and that's always been that way. Not always. Like 10 years ago, I used to use Adobe. But with this computer, I've never downloaded anything to open PDFs, and they open right up for me.
I actually use the PDF utility that comes with Thunderbird. I do some caregiving work for Lori that I get paid for through a company called GT Independence. And my friend gathers all of my daily work hour submissions into a PDF.
Now, Alice Nagel. Okay.
Okay, maybe it is Thunderbird. I just get an attachment. I tab once. There's a button, right arrow. I hear the name .pdf. Half the time I have to like contact the right click, if you know what I mean, and then click on open, and then it opens up to PDF. So maybe it is the Thunderbird PDF reader. But I'm trying to think. I think I've opened up PDFs online too. Like if I'm opening up, like say, an owner's manual to a receiver or stereo or something, and that opens right up. So I don't know if that's a Firefox extension that's automatic, because I never downloaded any extensions for that either.
Is that the browser you use, is Firefox?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So most browsers also have a PDF utility built into them. You know, Edge does, and Google Chrome does, so Firefox probably does too.
Hey, Sarah Small, did you bring a note?
Did I bring a what? I'm kind of late today. I only got 15 minutes.
Did you bring a note for being late?
I just walked in. Sorry.
Just kidding.
Her dog ate it.
Did I miss anything?
That's funny. A good one, Hank.
I think we're just more or less random doing.
Do you have the later version of Thunderbird that has that PDF utility, Mar? Because I never really thought about doing that through Thunderbird, but then I'm not up to date on mine. It's like 115 or something like that, I think I am.
I've been doing it for a while, Chris Ann. So next time you get a PDF in the email as an attachment, try it. And one thing I will say is that PDF reader works a whole lot better with NVDA, I think, because JAWS just kind of jumbles it all together, and yeah, it's hard to figure out where you are. My gosh, it's like Grand Central Station around here.
Hey, everybody's phone's ringing, huh? Does anybody do the update on the 17 Pro? I forget what the update is.
Well, I did it on mine, but I have 13, and it went through just fine. There's no problem doing it. So, yeah, you should have no problem there, Sarah.
I agree. NVDA works better. I mean, I've worked fine with the JAWS in a way. Like when I get my band song list, it's in a list, but it reads it like one long line, a whole bunch of songs, like, right, you know, like a run-on sentence. And NVDA reads it like it's supposed to. As far as Thunderbird, I have version 140.1. I keep my Firefox and Thunderbird up to date always, but that's the latest one, 140.1 point bunch of numbers.
Oh, yeah, I'm really behind on that. I know I should do it, but every time I think about it, I think, well, is it going to mess up my folder structure that I have? It hasn't so far, but I always think it often breaks things that don't need to be broken.
I've been pretty lucky so far. I mean, like I said, I have mine automatic. I just, when I open up Firefox and Thunderbird, it just comes up, you know, this, you got the latest version, blah, blah, blah. Here's what's new. And then I just close it out and continue as always. Anyway, Sarah, you're late, but any questions? Oh, you asked, what did you miss? We were talking about Instacart and Uber Eats a little bit. Sony is now on the Be My Eyes service desk. What, forgot what you called it. You told me already and I already forgot. yeah, because I don't use Instacart and Uber Eats, but I need to learn. And I've learned a few things that, you know, once I get them, I'll be, will help a lot.
Oh, okay. Just wondering if I missed anything. I just got a 17 Pro. I had a 15, but I just update today. There's no problem with this so far. So I was wondering if I'm missing anything on that 17.
Not too much. For those getting the newer phones, you have that new camera button on the side. I know some people have issues with that. There, you can go into settings and change it. You could turn it off, or you could change it so it's a double press to get the camera to open up. Because I've heard people, maybe they, oh, and you could set the sensitivity on how hard you press it to get the camera to open too.
I think that would be really neat, because that's one of my problems in taking pictures, is that it's the back-facing camera. I tried taking a picture the other day of my Roku remote to see if there was any kind of indicator light to tell me that it was charging. I had it plugged in to be charged. And I just have a terrible time. Now that I don't have my stand that I used to put my camera in, holding it and having to double tap the camera on the screen to take the picture, and then you're not, you know, right that second that you might have moved a little bit just to, you know, double tap that. And if you were hanging on to the camera on the sides where the buttons are, that'd be real easy to take the picture that way.
Unfortunately, the camera button is to open up the camera app. I don't think you take a picture, can you? I think if you press it again once, it takes a picture. On some apps, and definitely on the camera app, you know, the native camera app, you can use the volume buttons to take your picture. So you can hold it up sideways like a old-fashioned camera and just press the button at the top. Well, I normally set it to the top. You could put it on the bottom too and take your picture that way. And if you press and hold it, I wasn't able to really get it to work. Then I didn't give it much time. Once you open it, if you press and hold that camera button, it opens up Visual Intelligence. Don't ask me what it's about. It's supposed to be kind of a descriptive thing like some of the other ones, but I kind of find it a little weird once it opens up.
I do have one question. There is a button on that 17 Pro. It's on the right side. It's on the bottom. Not all the way to the bottom, but on the right side. What is that button for? Does anybody know?
That is the camera button. It's kind of long. It's kind of flat to the phone a little bit. If you press it once, it opens up the camera app. If you press and hold it after that, that's the visual intelligence. And I don't know if the 15 had it. Did that have the action button? There was another button, a third button above the volume buttons, and there's one, and that's your mute button now. Or you could set it to do an action. Like if you could make it so it's Shazam, if you, you know, you press and hold it, and it'll recognize a song. Unfortunately, you could only set it to do one thing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, so the one above the volume button is your action button. The one below the power button on the right side is your camera button.
I know. I pressed that a couple of times. I had no idea what it was. Thank you for telling me that. I had no idea.
And like I said, if you find that you keep opening up the camera app by accident too much, you can change the sensitivity. You can make it that you have to press it twice to open up the camera, or you could just turn it off so it doesn't do anything at all.
Oh, that we have to do that in setting under camera, right?
I believe so. Under camera, or yeah, I would say under camera because there's not a button settings.
I know there is a thing that you can designate what you want that button on the side to do. Is that what you're talking about? Sorry, our phone's been ringing off the hook. So I've lost bits and pieces of what's going on here.
The one above the volume buttons, yes. I don't think you can change what it does, the button below the power button, which is your camera button, because that's kind of more specific. I'd have to find out more about that, so don't quote me on that. But I believe you can't really change what that one does. The one above the volume buttons, which is a smaller, bulkier, not bulkier, but, you know, kind of like the volumes, you know, how they're more square, not so flush. That's your mute button. You can change that. Like I said, you could make a Shazam. I think you can change it to maps or voiceover. But, you know, there's a list of things, but that's called your action button. So if you go into settings, find your action button settings, you have a list of things you can make it do. But again, you can only make it do one thing. You can't. I wish you could like double press it and it would like, or press it once and it would mute. If you double press it, it would Shazam. But no, it's just press and hold, and it's whatever you chose. Well, that's what it does.
I don't have a camera button. I just have the power button on the other side. That's all I have.
That came out with, I don't remember if it came out on the 16, but that's kind of new. It might have came out, might have come out on the 16, but it's definitely on the 17. I think anything before that did not have that button, and it's kind of flush. It's not like it sticks out.
I've got the 17E, and I don't have anything like that.
Oh, gee, I didn't know that. But I'm gonna get off here. Thanks for everything. Sorry, I'm late. I'll try to be on time that time.
According to the A lady, it said the 17E does have that button. Let me feel my phone and I'll tell you kind of how far down it is. If not, just press hard all the way down the right side underneath the power button and see if your camera opens up.
Unless it's hidden in the case.
Yeah, I would say the button is a little over an inch long, and it's basically halfway between the power button and the bottom of the phone. I'm going to take the case off and see if it's flush to the phone as well. Like I'm with the case on it, which is an Apple case, it's flush. You can kind of feel the grooves a little bit, but it's completely flush. It does not stick out at all.
Wow, I don't see anything.
Same with on the phone itself. It's just flush. You know, there's a little groove around the button, depending on how good your dexterity is. But again, it's 100% flush to the body of the phone, and also 100% flush on the case.
Yeah, there is nothing like that there at all. I'm pushing all over on the phone, and the only thing there is the power button. And you said it's supposed to be between the power button and the bottom of the phone. Nope, just the power button is there.
Okay, I asked Siri, but she says the iPhone 17 has the button on the side. I'm asking her 17E, but she's not saying that. Echo, repeat.
The iPhone 17E features a camera button on the side for quick access to the camera app. This design makes taking photos or videos easier with just one press.
Wow, that is weird. Nope, the only button there is the power button. I pushed all the way down and nothing happens, no matter what I do. So,
And you don't feel any depressions or anything, huh? Yeah, it's like halfway between the power button and the bottom of the phone. I would just walk down and keep press, you know, not sliding it. Unless it's turned off or something, which I don't see why. If you didn't know it was there, you have to turn it on by default. Huh. Maybe the hey lady's wrong.
Yeah. Sometime when I don't have something open, I'm going to take the case off and see. But mine does have an Apple case, so it should. I mean, the power button has a regular button, and then the volume buttons and that action button have a regular button on the case that correspond with the buttons on the phone itself. So,
yeah, all those stick out. The camera button does not, like I said, flush. Interesting. Or maybe next time, if I don't know if you have an Apple store near you, next time you're out and about, walk in and say, hey, this is how friends are telling me I have a camera button. I can't find it. But anyway, it's a little past the top of the hour. I hope I did okay today. Cheryl will be back in 2 weeks to do it again. Hope everybody has a great end of the week and a good weekend.